You're looking for God and are running outside. God is near you. Don't search for him outside, even in forgetfulness. This is the Bhajan Rabba Labada A on page 117. You came making this promise, I will meditate on your Naam. You slept the sleep of carelessness and forgot God in your heart. Meditate on Naam. Earn the profit and take some capital with you. As the color is in the henna leaves, so your God is within you. As the fragrance is in the flowers, your beloved is within you. Don't go out. Don't do penances. Search for the Master. Look for him inside. He is sitting within the body, installing a lock. He has given the keys to the saints. The veils do not open while enjoying the pleasures. One has to meditate. One has to kill the mind and sacrifice the head. Then he reaches near to the Satguru. The love of God is obtained from within. Outside is the false illusion. He who has realized God has realized him from within. All the saints have written this. O gracious God Kripal, Ajab says this, keep me near you. You are looking for God and are running outside. God is near you. Don't search for him outside, even in forgetfulness. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 117.
Abadae Bahar Bajadae He Malik Tere Kolave Bahar Nabula Ke Tolave Rabba Labadae Bahar Bajadae He Malik Tere Kolave Bahar na bula ke tolave. Haridam naam japanga tera veda tu karke aya. Suta ninda tu gafalat vali malika dilo bulaya. Haridam naam japanga tera veda tu karke aya. Suta ninda tu gafalat vali malika dilo bulaya. Nama japa adiya, vela hakata adiya, kucha punji banale kolave, bahar na bula ke tolave. Rabba labadae, bahar bajadae, he malika tere kolave, Bahar na bula ke tolave. Mendi vichya jive ranga samaya tere vichya prabhu tera. Jive fula vichya vasana rendi andara pritama tera. Mendi vichya jive ranga samaya tere vichya prabhu tera. Jive fula vichya vasana rendi andara pritama tera. Bahara javina pachatavina Guru Labale and Arafolave Baharana Bulake Tolave Rabalabadae Baharbajadae He Malikatere Kolave Baharana Bulake Tolave Kaya vicha beta lake tala santa nukunji hefadai. Rangaralia manadia paradena kula de karani pave kamai. Kaya vicha beta lake tala santa nukunji hefadai. Rangaralia manadia paradena kula de karani pave kamai. Manamarana pave siravarana pave tapahunche sataguru kolave baharana bulake tolave rabalabadae baharbajadae he malikatere kolave Baharana bulake tolave. Pyara Prabhu dayandaro milada bahar juti mitiya. Jisanu milia yandaro milia sabasanta nelikiya. Pyara Prabhu dayandaro milada bahar juti mitiya. Jisanu milia yandaro milia sabasanta nelikiya. E deyala Prabhu, kirpala Prabhu, ajeba ake bolave, menurakale apane kolave. Rabalabadae baharbajadae, he malikatere kolave. Baharana bulake tolave.
The love of God is obtained from within. Outside is the false illusion. He who has realized God has realized him from within. All the saints have written this. O gracious God Kripal, Ajab says this, keep me near you. You are looking for God and are running outside. God is near you. Don't search for him outside, even in forgetfulness. And 4 weeks from now, there will be a 2-day meditation retreat celebrating Master Kripal Singh's life. Be held all day Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th. Initiates are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings. Schedules of satsang and meditation times are available at the book table in the big house. Local initiates who plan to participate and who will take meals at the ashram are asked to please let us know so we have some idea how many dear ones we will be cooking for. Guests wishing to attend and needing overnight accommodations are asked to please let the ashram know well ahead of time. I want to begin today, of course, Baba Sawan Singh's birthday is coming up on Thursday, and I want to begin by reading Master Kripal's message 1961 message on that occasion, which is published in the Ambrosial Hour under the title The Eternal Song. And Master says, "Dear Children of Light," July 10th, 1961. "Dear Children of Light, I convey my love to you all and speak to you from the core of my heart on the auspicious birth anniversary of my master, Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. Blessed indeed is the hour when the timeless comes into time, the formless assumes a form, and the wordless becomes the word, and the word puts on the mantle of flesh to dwell amongst us. Verily ye are, essentially and potentially, the timeless, the formless, and the wordless. The word is in you, and you live in and by the word, though you may for the time being be living on the plane of the senses and unaware of your real identity. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. Lectures, messages, statements, and discourses of any kind, spiritual or otherwise, imparted through utterances or writings, are just idle talk when not acted upon or lived up to. Live up to the divine word, which is the word of words, the manifestation of truth. This word is hearkened by the soul. It is the eternal song which was sung ages ago. And that song produced the phenomena called the universe. When that song is heard, you will have some glimpses of the Lord and the true Master. Some will have a little, some more, and some still more. Souls embedded in the Master power will be lighted. The more receptive the souls to the Master power, the more light they will emit. If you wish to love God truly in the most practical way, it is to love our fellow beings. Feel for others in the same way as we feel for our dear ones. Instead of seeing faults in others, we look within ourselves. Suffer in the sufferings of others and feel happy in the happiness of others. Endure all that comes, cheerfully accepting it as his will, and do not hurt or harm any of his beings. To love God, we must live for God and die for God. I would like to sow the seed of love in your hearts so that the feelings of love are brought about among all the nations, creeds, sects, and castes of the world. All saints preach the same. Love and all things shall be added unto you. Without love, there is no peace here or hereafter. Kabir. Those who do not know love cannot know God. Christ. Hear ye all, I tell you the truth. God cannot be approached without love. Guru Gobind Singh. The main purpose of my master was to awaken mankind to the truth taught and preached by all saints who came in the past. His job was to awaken the divinity in every heart and guide each to his or her goal of life. Like the great masters of the past, he drew people of all castes and colors by living example. He awakened humanity to the fundamental, inviolable unity of all life. All mankind is one. The true brotherhood will arise by by awakening to the unity already existing in man. Man is an ensouled body. Soul is a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. Man is the oldest of all. Social bodies were made by man for the attainment of God. My master did not come to establish a new religion. The religion he taught is the knowledge of the self and the one behind the many, which can be achieved by tapping inside by inversion, by reading the great book of oneself, where God is revealed, the book of all books, the Bible of all Bibles, which holds the key to the mystery of life. The way to truth is simple. The way is to know oneself so as to know God. When one is awakened to self-consciousness, his or her outer attachments are shaken off, and God floods his or her soul. The only rules that he gave at all, if any, were meditation, pure ethical life, and selfless service. He did not say for you to cease to be a Christian, a Hindu, a Sikh, a Mohammedan, or a Zoroastrian, but to be a true follower of Christ, Lord Krishna, Guru Nanak, Prophet Muhammad, or Zoroaster. That is, to do what they said. He did not ask the skeptical man or woman of today to accept any dogma, but in the spirit of humility, to obey the God reverberating in the heart of all. He advised us to look at each other from the level of the soul, and not through the garbs of various religions we are wearing, and to love all. He did not advocate change of forms, but to look within oneself, where all are one. He did say that whatever religion one has, it should transform our life. We should lead an ethical life. He did not bring Eastern or Western thoughts for us to act upon, but helped us to act upon the basic truth that we already have in our religions. He revived the forgotten truth that is eternal. Example is better than precept. The teacher that the age wants is a living example of what all may become. The only teacher that we can accept is one who has experienced God. He must be one who has consciously bridged the gulf between time and eternity and can show others how to do likewise. He enables us to discover ourselves. We get through him a change of heart, and he has the power to transmit grace, kindle love, and bestow contact with the light of God. He is overflowing with the love of God and of all creation, and those who come in contact with him are enkindled with that love, and the God power working through him awakens God in others. Books cannot replace teachers. Unless one meets the teacher in the flesh, one cannot unravel the mystery of self. What a man has done, another can do, of course, with proper guidance and help. You have been put on the path that leads you to the divine in you. You have been blessed with a conscious contact with the holy light and harmony, the life and soul of all that is, and you can develop your initial experience of the living contact to any length you may. It all depends on you. Where there is a will, there is a way. Strive for it ceaselessly. It is the essence of life and the greatest gift on earth. Rear it up with tender care and loving devotion, lest you may again lose hold of the lifelines in the stormy sea of life. Awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached. Is the time-honored message coming down as it does from eternity? And I repeat it today with all the emphasis at my command. Make hay while the sun shines. The kingdom of God verily is at hand, and the power of God unmistakably beckons you to it. Avail yourself of the golden opportunity that God has given you. For human birth is a rare privilege, and thrice blessed is man. Make the most of it while there is yet time. Let not dissensions creep into your thoughts and corrode your progress in any way. You are one of the fortunate children of invincible light. Live up to that sacred truth. Master Power is always with you, and will be extending you all love and grace. If we live up to the teachings, it is a panacea for all ills and evils. With fondest love to you all, Kripal Singh. And this is a transcription of a talk that I gave shortly after coming home from the Unity of Man Conference in March 1974, which was published a year later in Satsang Desh. And this was, of course, the conference was a very major thing, both in my life and in the Master's mission. So this is I'm reading from the February 1975 issue of Satsang Desh. One thing I learned in the course of the conference and a few days after it is that we really have got to be receptive. Every second of the day, Master is talking to us and telling us things. We make up our minds, we make decisions, we decide this and that. But as Master says, man proposes and God disposes. You see, I wasn't even going to go to this conference. I had made up my mind very fully. I decided, well, I just wouldn't go. I can't go, I said. I can't go because I was just there, first of all. I had been there the previous September. And it would be very difficult financially. And Judith can't go, and I was just there without her. And why should I go again in just 4 months' time? It's just not right. And besides, I've got too much to do here. That was the way I reasoned. So I said, I'm not going. And when some people from here left, I tried to write a letter for them to take to Master, explaining that I wasn't coming. Somehow I couldn't get it written. There were too many things happening, and they left without it. A few days later, the thought came over me that I had better go. And as long as that thought was there, there was no peace. I had no peace. Finally, I went down to the travel agency and got my ticket and went. When I got there, about 15 people told me, Master said you had to come. He said it was your job to be here. Of course, I was, at the time, among other things, editor of Satsang Desh, and Master had that in mind, I assume. I found out that about 2 weeks before, someone asked Master if I was coming, and Master said, of course he'll be here. He must be here. It's his job to be here. When the people from here arrived, the ones to whom I didn't give the letter, and they were asked, when is Russell coming? They said, oh, he's not coming. Not coming, but Master said he had to come. What to do? Should they cable? Finally, Edna said it was not necessary to cable, that Master would take care of it. And he did. It so happened that I was often in the position of having made up my mind and decided something, and then discovered that everything was entirely different. For example, at the satsang after the conference was over, one of the conveners announced that there would be a meeting right after the satsang of the following people. And he read off a list of names, which included mine, and we were all supposed to come and attend. We were going to discuss things about how to carry on the work, but I didn't want to go to that meeting in the worst way. I was tired, I had a headache, I had just been to satsang, and I wanted to go to my room and meditate. I just did not want to go. But I felt, well, Master said it was my job to be there, and my name was called. I have an obligation, I'd better go. So very reluctantly I went. Very reluctantly. And I went in, and Mr. Srivastava was there, and Mr. Sareen, and they motioned me to a chair near them, which happened to be near the head of the table. And I sat down, and I was very disgruntled, and the thing began. It was back and forth, and people's opinions, and my headache got worse. All that stuff gives me a terrible headache. And I don't say anything. I just don't feel I've got the strength to push through this wall of constant verbiage. So I just listened, and this man had this opinion, and that man had that opinion. All of a sudden, Master came in. No one was expecting him. And it was like, you know, when I realized he was there, I turned around, and it was like the sun had just come out on a gray day. He was standing there in the room, and it was like he was 10 feet high and too tall for the ceiling. And he came and took a chair, and he took the chair next to me. He was 6 inches away from me at this meeting that I hadn't even wanted to attend. He was so close, it was like I just couldn't see anything. The light was so dazzling. And he pulled up his chair to the table and took part in the meeting. I had to move my chair over to make room for him. He squeezed in between me and Mr. Srivastava and sat there. And I had such darshan that I can't tell you for at least a half hour. And not only that, but the whole feeling of the room, everything that happened at the meeting, went shooting up 10 degrees. All of a sudden, the verbosity stopped. All the opinions, all the ego play that was going on just vanished. And we got right down to essences. There was no fooling around. And there were a lot of things that were like that. There was one thing, one other thing. One night, I had failed very badly, and it might have been even the night of this day. It was very soon after that, in any event. I was feeling very self-important, and some man asked my advice, and some of the things I said he didn't like, and he let me know it, and I lost my temper at him. I really got angry, and I told him off. And then I went right over to Master's house because I had to go over to look at pictures for Satsandesh. I didn't expect to see Master, but I went over carrying this thing that I had lost my temper and had violated the sanctity of the ashram, only I wasn't thinking of it in those terms yet. I was still feeling self-important and complacent. It hadn't fully dawned on me what I had done. So I went over to Master's house, and I went into the reception room, and Master was there. He was giving darshan. So I sat down in a far corner, and he saw me and called me up. He made me sit about 2 feet in front of him, and I never in my life experienced such love from him as he gave me that night. He said, "Thank God you have come," like that. I was sitting there, and he was beaming this love at me. He asked me when I was leaving, and I said, "Wednesday night." This was Sunday night. He said, "You should stay 3 days longer." "Oh, I can't, Master. I have too many things to do, people expecting me, this and that." He laughed and said, "That's all right." And he said, "What are you going to write about the conference?" So I told him some of the things I had thought of. He said, "You had better write it here while it's still fresh in your mind. When you get home, it'll be stale." And I said, "Oh, no, Master, I always write better back there." He said, "All right." You know, he continued to love me, even though I had gone over there with the loss of temper hanging on me, the weight of the anger hanging on me, and then I had twice argued with him. He had told me two very specific things, and I had said no. So I went home that night, back to my room. My stomach was upset, and I couldn't sleep all night. I sat there in bed, trying to sleep, and the events of the evening were going around and around in my head. Suddenly, I began to see things. First of all, that I had sinned very badly. I had lost my temper. I had gone to Master with that on my head, and what had he given me? Total forgiveness. Absolute love. Don't think for one minute that he can't see those things, what a person has done. He can. I've had experience with that 100 times over. He knew exactly what I had done, but he gave me love anyway. Then he had given me 2 specific commandments. For all my talk about obeying the Master 100%, I had done what any idiot could have done and said no. So all that was going around in my head, and I spent the whole night in meditation. I couldn't sleep. It was no virtue on my part. So I sat 6 or 7 hours that night. I couldn't wait for the morning to come. I was going to put everything right. The first thing I did, I found that man at whom I had gotten angry, and I dragged him over to that same room where I had lost my temper because the same people were there. And I apologized to him, and I begged his forgiveness. He was very forgiving, and he said, fine, didn't care in the least, excellent. So that was one thing. Then I went running over to Master's house, and I went in and told him, I said, Master, I want to stay longer. You told me to last night. Did you really mean that? I was thinking that you were just being polite. He said, no, no, it's up to you. You know better. Whatever you want, no imposition. If you can stay 1 or 2 days more, it might be good, but it's for you to say. I want to do what you want, Master. He laughed, and then I said, I'll write the article here. He said, no, no, you know better, whatever you think. I said, no, Master, you know better. And I went down to the ticket office that day, and the only flight I could get was exactly 3 days later than the one I had had. And I got back that night, and Master said, are you going to write the article here or there? I said, here, Master. He said, good, then you'll have to stay longer. So I knew it was the real thing. Well, in that 3 days, I did write the article, and I gave it to him to read, and he read it and told me he liked it, which is a very sweet thing for me. And many things happened that made it a good thing that I stayed that long. But I didn't want to do it, you see. This is an important thing. The way Master works with all of us on every level. He does not impose. He is not a dictator or a tyrant. When we become disciples of a real Master, we don't become slaves. He gently points out to us what would be for our own good. If we take it, okay. If we don't, well, he never says, bad person, you'll have to pay for this. He never talks like that. He says, no, no, you know better. It's all right, no imposition, whatever you want. He talks like that. He leaves it up to us. It's because of the inherent dignity of the human being, I would say, that he acts this way. Because he said somewhere, I have come not to make slaves of you, but to make friends of you. Like Jesus said, you are my friends. So I think in all spheres of life, on every level, Master is relating to us in this way. And you know it is up to us. I failed badly many times. With the grace of God, it came out all right in the end. Master somehow worked on me, and his grace penetrated through, and I realized that I was in error. But time after time, things that I did not want to do or had no inclination to do, well, with his grace, in spite of myself, it was done, and I was the gainer. So it's the same generally. We come on the path, we take up the spiritual way, we go along. Perhaps we fail. Perhaps we make terrible mistakes and errors. But once we realize that we have done badly and we turn our face towards Him, we find Him waiting with arms outstretched. Come on, dear son. Come on, dear daughter. I love you. Like the story of the prodigal son, whether the errors we make are small or big, if we really turn toward Him, the result will be like that. And there are several points I would like to comment on in regard to this particular incident or series of incidents. For one thing, this was the very last time that I ever saw Master Kripal physically. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. Those 3 days he had me stay extra were the last 3 days I ever spent with him. They were his gift to me. His gift that I initially did not want to accept. But I would point out that this was the absolute culmination of my whole time with him. And it was a series of errors, one after the other. It's like I hadn't learned a thing. What on earth had I been doing all those years? You know, I had learned nothing. And yet, what did he give me? You know, and when I said, I mean, I went over, I lost my temper. And I really, I had all kinds of self-righteous anger in me with that, the guy that I lost my temper to. And I went over and I went into Master's house and I was still full of self-righteous everything. It had not occurred to me I'd done anything wrong at that point. I went in, Master is there, and he didn't wait for me to repent before he forgave me and loved me. He forgave me and loved me first, and that's what gave me the ability to repent. And in my experience, that's the way the Master works. His love is there, it's always there, and that's why it's possible for us to see through our mistakes and to do better. Anyway, he did, the love he gave me that night, and it's like when I think back, the things I said and did that night, you know, who would believe that someone who had responsible position, I mean, at this point, I was a representative with the authority to initiate. I was manager of this ashram. I was editor of his magazine. I was publisher of his books. Here I was sitting at his feet and saying, oh, I can't, Master. I can't do what you want me to do. I can't write over here. I prefer to write back there. I can't stay 3 days longer. I've got stuff to do home. Even, yes, I know you've told me to do it, and I understand all about obeying the Master, but it doesn't work this point now. I can't do what you tell me. I mean, what on earth had I learned in all those years that I had spent with him? The question is very valid, and you know, you could argue I'd learned nothing. And yet, what did he give me? You know, he didn't give evince the slightest displeasure. He just gave me total love and I would say even respect. And it's that love and respect that made it possible for me to see the error of my ways. And boy, I did see it. I mean, that night in that room, there were 7 people in that room. It was not a private room by any means. Everyone was very, very crowded at the ashram at the time of the conference, and actually a 7-person room was very luxurious. Many people were in 20 or 30 people to a room. And I was, oh boy, I tell you, I mean, oh, I saw, how clearly I saw that night all my errors. It was like my whole life full of errors came up towards me, and all I could see was all my errors in the light of his love, his love was the reality and my errors were the silliness. And oh God, I thought morning, I had to fix things. I had to get things right. And because of his love, I was able to do that, of course. But you know, this particular talk is going to be, is included in the book that I have just finished writing. That book is called Stumbling Toward God, and it's called that for a reason. Because that's what I did. That's what I'm doing now, is stumbling toward God. Kabir says somewhere, you know, that if you fall down, if you're moving toward somewhere and you fall down and you get up, at least you have moved one body length closer to where you're going. And that's the way I could almost call it, falling down towards God, you know, because that's what we do. We err and we make errors. But one thing I would point out, that if the Master is that way with us, we can at least be that way with each other. You know, we do not have, it is not any of our affair to judge each other, to find fault with each other, to correct each other. We can have the same respect and love for each other that the Master has for us. If he who knows everything and sees through the inmost depths of the human soul can treat us that way, surely we can treat each other that way who cannot do that. Because what do we know? Somewhere the Master says, you don't even know your own motives. How can you presume to judge the motives of others? And surely we can apply that lesson for that. Well, what the Master gives us is without compare. And I do want to read a couple of paragraphs from Master Kripal's early circular. This actually was issued as circular number 1 from May 1956. This is just a couple of paragraphs of it which follow on what I was just saying. He says, in this vast creation, everyone is gifted with an individual perception. The heredity, the environment, and the teachings inculcated all combine to make one what he is. We cannot blame anyone for thinking differently in his own way. Everyone has his own temperament and his own way of thinking. They must differ, and they do differ vehemently. There's no help for it. It is, on the other hand, the sign of sentient life. We must not, therefore, on that account, cross swords with them. Even if in their ignorance they at times may talk ill of the spiritual teachings and use harsh words, they cannot help it. But that should not disturb the true seekers after truth. We must be polite and gentle and even humble in our conduct. Bandying of words does not help. We may try to remove misunderstandings, if any, sweetly and gently, but not in an antagonistic spirit. It is advised that individual persons, including representatives, group leaders, and other old and new initiates, should not enter into any sort of discussions or disputes with any religious bodies, circles, faiths, or sects, etc. If any such bodies do enter into such things, they may be directed to refer to the Master for an appropriate reply. It would be better to turn aside rather than to break your own head in an attempt and injure the great cause for which we stand. God knows his purpose well and has diverse ways to fulfill the same without you and me. So it will not pay to quarrel with our neighbors. It is said that those who try to live by the sword perish by the sword. The entire Christian philosophy is summed up in two memorable precepts of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so said all other masters who came in the past. If we live up to these teachings, there could be no trouble at all. The royal monk Ashoka, in one of his rock edicts, tells us, he who reveres his own sect but disparages the sects of others does great injury to his own, for he lacks the essentials of a religion. The above remarks apply equally in your dealings with one another. You are all knit together by the loving grace of the Master in bonds of common fellowship. Honest differences of opinion may arise, and at times do arise, but these must be resolved happily by friendly exchange of thought and mutual discussion free from bitterness and rancor. If, in spite of this, these persist, a timely reference to the Master would be a welcome resort, rather than to indulge in widening the gulf between ourselves by encouraging vociferous tendencies. And, you know, if there's one message that the Masters gave over and over and over again, was, of course, Sanchi's, the essence of his first message when we brought it back in May 76, is to love one another. Jesus said the night of his night before the crucifixion, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. How many times did Kripal quote that? And Sanchi bore reference to that. And as Kripal just said, you know, we can't help but have differences of opinion. It's a sign of sentient life. But the way Master relates to us, the respect for us, the recognition that our opinions come out of the wholeness of our experience, our environment, all of the things that Master lists off in that circular. If we recognize all that, we can take that into consideration and still have respect and love. I want to read a few paragraphs, not the whole talk, but sections of it. An extraordinary talk that Sanchi gave to the Sevadars of Sampani Ashram when he was here in May 1977. There were a lot of Sevadars back then. There were about 25 of us. This was down at his house. He called us down and he gave us this talk. He says, Swamiji Maharaj says, how can I tell you all the tricks of the mind? The mind has so many ways in which he can deceive us that we cannot describe all his tricks. What does he do? He destroys the love in the satsangis, and instead of that love, he fills them from within with jealousy, with duality, and people start hating each other. What does Maya do? Maya brings illusion within us, and Kaal colors that with the color of dirt. And then we also behave like ordinary worldly people after giving up our meditations. What does Kal do with us? Whatever good thoughts we have had by attending the satsang, whatever meditation we have done, whatever knowledge we have achieved through the satsang, when the time comes, the negative power tries his level best and plays all his tricks to take those things away from us. If someone has achieved a little bit of love and the will of the master or saint, the negative power tries to take that away from him also in due course of time. Swamiji Maharaj says, it is a surprising thing that when the negative power attacks us, we forget the forgiveness which we have received after attending the satsangs. I love that quote, and I think it's so such a major thing to look at it this way. It is a surprising thing that when the negative power attacks us, we forget the forgiveness which we have received after attending the satsangs. We forget the forgiveness. So how does Kal or the negative power affect us? We are called satsangis and we are satsangis, and we are all brothers and sisters and master. But Kal sits in us and makes us fight among our brothers and sisters. He creates dryness within us and tells us, what is in meditation? Coming into the satsang also, he disturbs us. He does not leave us even for a minute. Once the negative power came to Guru Nanak and said, you are giving grace to many people and liberating them. So give me some room in your sangha so that I can also get something from you. Guru Nanak said, no, there is no room for you. But if you still want, you can sit in the place where the shoes of all the people are kept. That is why when we are sitting in satsang, after hearing the talk of the master, we make up our mind that we will do whatever master has told us to do. But as soon as we come to the place where the shoes are kept and we put on our shoes, the negative power starts affecting us and we forget everything we have learned in satsang. If the satsangis are loving and respecting each other and doing their meditation, then if the negative power cannot do anything to the meditators, he goes to the sevadars. And sitting in the sevadars, he will pull their minds in different directions. He will tear the sevadars apart, and he will not allow them to make their seva successful. If he is not successful in using any of his tricks on us, then what does he do? He takes whatever seva we have done. Guru Nanak says, it is easy to do seva, but it is difficult to maintain it. How does he dwell in the sevadars? He comes and sits in the minds of the sevadars, and that's why some of them think that they are very good sevadars, that they are doing very good seva, and that nobody else is competent like them. And some people think that they are very good at organizing. So sitting in their mind, he creates this type of thing within the sevadars. Because if a few people start praising us and folding hands to us, then we do not want to stay on the ground. We start flying. We think we are also something. Now when the sevadars go in different directions and start fighting with one another, Master warns us and rebukes us. What have you done? You should not do that. And then the satsangis realize and they repent, but they do not understand the tricks of the negative power. When the sevadars start fighting with each other and becoming angry with each other, Master rebukes us and tells us, your work is to do seva, and you have to set an example for other people. When Master is telling us that, then our mind starts making excuses to the Master, and people start arguing and explaining to the Master, no, this is right. or this is wrong. And I would, you know, I would point out that everything that Sanchi is saying here is exactly what was happening to me in the story that I just read after the Unity of Man conference. I was fighting with other Sevadars. I thought I was in the right. I was arguing with the master. He you name him, he says it and I did it. I was a perfect example of everything that he's saying here, of what not to do. Anyway, he then tells the story of Bir Babaru, and I love that story. And I often used to wonder, why is that story in here? Bir Babaru, of course, was a barber. I won't read the whole thing, but just in case anyone is not aware of it, he was a barber who was called to be the barber to the king. And the king had a great secret, that is that he had two horns on his head. So he kept a turban on at all times so that nobody knew that. But in order to have his hair cut, the barber had to know it. So he showed his two horns to Bir Babaru on penalty of death if he ever revealed it, and also not only him but his family. And Bir Babaru couldn't handle that. So he got sicker and sicker and sicker. His stomach became huge. And finally, a very wise man suggested that he go out into the forest and tell whatever was on his mind to the trees. And he did that. And he felt better, and he came back. The trees were cut down and made into musical instruments, and they were brought into the to a celebration for the king. Says he went there facing toward one tree. He said in a very impressive chant, Bir Babaru says this, the king has two horns. It so happened that later that tree was cut down and the wood was used in making a harmonium and tabla. Then the king's wife gave birth to a son, so the king called all the musicians to celebrate. It so happened that the musicians were using the same harmonium and tabla. Before starting a program, they tuned their instruments, and when they started tuning the harmonium, the sound came. The king has two horns. People were amazed and asked, who says this? And when the tabla player started tuning, it said, Bir Babaru. The harmonium was sounding like the king has two horns, and the people would say, who is saying this? And the tabla would sound like Bir Babaru. So then the king took off his hat and said, it is true, I have two horns. So people like Bir Babaru cannot hold anything in their stomachs. And this thing happened. And it's like, you know, Sanchi's saying here, this is part of why the master does not hold it against us if we can't do what he says. Because we can't always help it. You know, it's like Bir Babaru did his very, very best, but he could not help it. And we shouldn't do like he does, Sanchi says, but the story is in there for a reason, you know. Okay, so we can't help it. That doesn't mean that, you know, on the worldly level, the mistakes we make will have consequences. But the Master will love us all the same. He will not stop loving us. He will not stop respecting us, and he will give us as much grace as we can handle. He will actually give us more than we can handle, but we won't get any more than we can handle. Without Sadhguru's grace, a soul cannot be successful. That is why we should always remember that it is Sadhguru's grace which is working and helping us in our every single work. And Swamiji Maharaj says, you don't understand that no enemy is coming from outside. Mind, our enemy, is residing within us. Mind is within everyone. You should not think that only the other person has the enemy, the mind, and that you don't. Everybody has the mind. Everybody has his enemy within. And that enemy is the agent of Kal. And he has the duty from Kal not to allow any soul to do Satguru's work. That's why he is holding us. So what is the medicine for this? Do satsang and get the earnings of the meditation of Nam and receive the grace of Master. With the help of and grace of the Master, all our bad deeds and thoughts will go away from us and we will become pure. But those who hide everything from their Satguru, and after going to the Satguru, even if they have many faults, still say, I have not done any mistake. And I am doing so much meditation. For such people, what can be done? Such a person never understands that Master is looking at his every thought, his every action. He always takes the Master as an ordinary human being, and that is why he goes on committing mistakes under the impression that nobody is there to see them. And I repeat, Swamiji Maharaj says, you don't understand that no enemy is coming from outside. Mind, our enemy, is residing within us. Mind is within everyone. You should not think that only the other person has the enemy, the mind, and that you don't. Everybody has the mind. Everybody has his enemy within. And along those lines, I want to conclude this reading today with selection from the Lord Buddha. This is the opening verses of the Dhammapada. Very basic Buddhist scripture, accepted by all Buddhist sects. Often referred to by Master Kripal, which exactly is along the same line as what Santi has just been saying. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded in our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows him, as the wheel follows the feet of the ox that draws the wagon. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness follows him, like a shadow that never leaves him. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. And those who entertain such thoughts, hatred will never cease. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. And those who do not entertain such thoughts, hatred will cease. For hatred will never cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by love. This is an eternal law. And we are listening to a talk from Shama's retreat in California from August 20th, 1980.
आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान ले आया ए सतगुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागाना लियाया ए सत गुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए जग ओजड़ उलझेनु जग भूले बटकेनु जग वहम जकड़ेनु जग चिड़के अटकेनु बानी उपदेश सुना गुर राहे पाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाए सत गुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए कुछ नूर दिया गाला कुछ दूर दिया गाला हो थांते तर कन्यो जियो सगर दिया चाला कुछ लहंगे वक्त दिया कुछ ऐसे वक्त दिया कुछ अगले वक्त दिया गाला के गुजिया दिल तुम बज गाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाया ए सत गुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए इस पानी दुनिया चो जो पूज प्यारा ए जो वस है लालच दे बेचमक सितारा ए इस जग हनेरे चो पापा दे दे रे चो ओ दे ते ए दे चो तेरे ते मेरे चो साचे ते झूठे दा जिस बेद मिटाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाया ए सत गुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए जो इस राहे आवे जो इस राहे जावे नरकादा भागी भी सुरगन दिशा पावे ए अपनी खेती एनु जेड़ा करदा ए आगती जा पछती ए ना भूखा मरदा ए इस राहे हर पापी तुर भगत कहाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाया ए सत गुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पाया ए ना बीच मसीत मिले ना बीच मंदर प्रभु ना बीच उजाड़ा दे हे सब अंदर प्रभु इन बाहरी आंखियां जद बंद कर लेंदे हां गुरु आंदी सिकियांदा सिमरन कर लेंदे हां गुरुआ इस राहे पा रब आप मिलाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाए सदगुरु जी प्यारे जा आज दर्शन आयाए बुंदा दे ओले चो बदला दे ओले चो ककराते स्याला चो गर्मी दे शोले चो गुरुआं दी किरपा ने गुरुआं दी बानी ने गुरुआं दे वाकाने लाक पापी कड़हे ने जीना ने गुरुआं दा एक नाम दयाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाए सतगुरु जी प्यारे आज दर्शन पायाए अजाय बजीचे कहे हो किरपाल दे लाग सेवे विच राज देरे राजी प्रभु जो दे देवे ए रस्ता है तेरा इस तोजे बटकेंगा ओ जर विच पे जाएंगा जिलत विच अटकेंगा जिस गुरु बुलाया ए उस सुख न पाया ए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाए सतगुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पायाए आज शुभ दिहाड़ाए बागान लियाए सतगुरु जी प्यारे दा आज दर्शन पायाए सतगुरु आयो दीन दुआरे सतगुरु आयो
I think somehow the tape got in reverse. We've been listening to the end of side B, which had bhajans added. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Anyway, we'll pick up probably somewhat of what we heard last week.
ਹੁਣ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਇਸ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀ ਲਿਖੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸ਼ੱਕ ਨੂੰ ਗੁੰਜਾਇਸ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਗੀ ਆਪਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਜਨਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਕੇ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਲ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੀਏ ਤੇ ਕਿਹਦੀ ਕਰੀਏ ਤੋ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕੋਈ ਪੂਰਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਵੇ ਉਸ ਤੋਂ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਭੇਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਵੇ ਜੋ ਉਹ ਰਸਤਾ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਸੇਵਕ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜਪ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਤਪ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਪੂਜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਪਾਠ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਉਸ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਹੈ
The bani's of saints and mahatmas do not have any room for doubt in them. In the beginning, he had said that we have got this precious human body to do the devotion. Now the question arises that whose devotion should we do? We have not seen God and we cannot do the devotion of Lord because we have not seen him. So how can we do his devotion? Further, he says that if we get the perfect master who has done the meditation of Shabad Naam and who has practiced the Shabad Naam and has manifested in his within, if we get such a master getting initiation from him, we have to do the devotion of the master, and only in this way we can utilize our human birth.
Shabd maragi guru na hove to tuthi ingur vai leve ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸਨੀ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਬਿਨਾ ਦੂਸਰ ਨੈਸੀ।
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿਹੜੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ, ਕਿਹੜੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸਰੂਪੀ ਹੈ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਅਭਿਆਸੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿਸ ਨੇ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ ਹੈ।
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਿਚ ਗੁਰੂਜ਼ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਐਂਡ ਟੂ ਵਿਚ ਗੁਰੂ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਗੋ। ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਗੁਰੂ, ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਫਾਰਮ ਆਫ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਐਂਡ ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟਿਸ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਐਂਡ ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਸਪੈਂਟ ਹਿਜ਼ ਲਾਈਫ ਇਨ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ।
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਪੂਰੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਤੇ ਕਿਤੇ ਹੈ, ਦੁਕਾਨਾਂ ਬੇਸ਼ੁਮਾਰ ਹੈ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਪਰਫੈਕਟ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਆਰ ਰੇਅਰ, ਦੇਰ ਆਰ ਨਿਊਮਰਸ ਸ਼ਾਪਸ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਐਸਾ ਜਵਾਨਾ ਆਏਗਾ ਚੇਲਾ ਬਣਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕੋਈ ਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਏਗਾ, ਸਭ ਇਹ ਹੀ ਕਹਿਣਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਬਣੀਏ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਟਾਈਮ ਵਿਲ ਕਮ ਵੈਨ ਨੋਬਡੀ ਵਿਲ ਬੀ ਰੈਡੀ ਟੂ ਬਿਕਮ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ, ਐਵਰੀਬਡੀ ਵਿਲ ਵਾਂਟ ਟੂ ਬਿਕਮ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ।
ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸਰੂਪੀ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਅਭਿਆਸੀ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਝੂਠਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਦੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਜਾਣ ਨਾਲ ਸਾਡਾ ਅਸਲੀ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾਗਾ।
ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਦ ਫਾਰਮ ਆਫ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ, ਹੀ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟੀਸ਼ਨਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਦ ਟਰੂ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਐਂਡ ਬਾਈ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਹਿਮ ਵੀ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਗੈਟ ਐਨੀਥਿੰਗ।
ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਪੜ੍ਹ ਕੇ ਦੇਖੋ, ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ 10 ਸਾਲ 20 ਸਾਲ ਕੋਈ ਅਕਾਂਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾਏ ਹੈ, ਕਦੇ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੈ, ਕਦੇ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਸੰਚੇ ਚ ਢਾਲੀ ਹੈ।
ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਰੀਡ ਦ ਲਾਈਵਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਸ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਨੋ ਵੈਦਰ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਹੈਜ਼ ਸਪੈਂਟ ਹਿਸ ਲਾਈਫ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਦੀ ਇੰਸਟਰਕਸ਼ਨਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਵੈਦਰ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਸਪੈਂਟ 10-15 ਈਅਰਸ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ, ਵੈਦਰ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਓਬੇਡ ਦੀ ਇੰਸਟਰਕਸ਼ਨਸ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਔਰ ਨਾਟ।
ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜਦ ਦੇ ਵੀ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਆਏ ਹੈ, ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਹੈ, ਕਬੀਰ ਹੈ, ਮੌਲਾਨਾ ਰੂਮ, ਸ਼ਮਸ ਤਬਰੇਜ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ 17 ਸਾਲ ਇੱਕ ਅੰਧੇਰੀ ਕੋਹੜੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੈਠ ਕੇ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕੀਤਾ, ਬਾਬਾ ਜੈਮਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਨੇ ਬੜਾ ਜ਼ਬਰਦਸਤ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕੀਤਾ, ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਨੇ ਬੜਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕੀਤਾ।
ਐਵਰ ਸਿੰਸ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਟਾਰਟਡ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ, ਐਵਰ ਸਿੰਸ ਦ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਵਾਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ ਐਂਡ ਸਿੰਸ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਟਾਰਟਡ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ, ਦੇ ਆਲ ਹੈਵ ਡਨ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ। ਇਟ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਮੈਟਰ ਵੈਦਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਕੇਮ, ਮੌਲਾਨਾ ਰੂਮ ਕੇਮ, ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕੇਮ, ਔਰ ਸ਼ਮਸ ਤਬਰੇਜ਼ ਕੇਮ, ਔਰ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਉਸ ਬਾਣੀ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਰੀਡਿੰਗ ਨਾਓ, ਹੀ ਆਲਸੋ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟਿਡ ਫਾਰ 17 ਈਅਰਸ ਇਨ ਦ ਡਾਰਕ ਰੂਮ, ਐਂਡ ਆਫਟਰ ਦੈਟ ਬਾਬਾ ਜੈਮਲ ਸਿੰਘ, ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਐਂਡ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਆਲਸੋ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟਿਡ ਅਲੋਟ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਲਾਈਫ।
ਅਸੀਂ ਡੈਮੋਸਟ੍ਰੇਸ਼ਨ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਤਦ ਹੀ ਦੇ ਸਕਾਂਗੇ ਜੇ ਆਪ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕੁਝ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੋਏਗਾ।
ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਡੈਮੋਸਟ੍ਰੇਟ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਓਨਲੀ ਇਫ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਡਨ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਐਡਵਾਂਸ।
ਸ਼ਬਦ ਕਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਗਗਨ ਸਿਖਰ ਕਾ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਕਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਸੁਨ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਕਾ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਕਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਪਵਰ ਡਗਰ ਕਾ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਕਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਆਗਮ ਨਗਰ ਕਾ।
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਮੈਂ ਗਾਉਣ ਵਜਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਮੈਂ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਗਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਸੱਚ ਖੰਡੋ ਉੱਠ ਕੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਇੱਥੇ ਮੱਥੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਤਮਕਾਰਾਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿੱਥੇ ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਕੌਮ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਮਜ਼ਹਬ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਉੱਥੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਪੜਪੜਾਈ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੈ।
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਨਾਟ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦੈਟ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵਿਚ ਕੈਨ ਬੀ ਸੰਗ ਔਰ ਰਿਟਨ ਔਰ ਪਲੇਡ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਮਿਊਜ਼ਿਕ, ਆਈ ਐਮ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦੈਟ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵਿਚ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਗਿਵਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵਿਚ ਕਮਸ ਫਰੋਮ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਸਾਊਂਡਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਅਵਰ ਆਈ ਸੈਂਟਰ, and I'm talking about that shabad which we get only from the perfect master.
ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਲਿਆਉਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਔਰ ਤੁਰਿਆ ਪਦ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਉੱਥੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਮੁਕੰਮਲ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਖਿੱਚਣ ਵਾਲਾ ਸੁਣਾਈ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਫਿਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
When with the help of Simran we bring our scattered attention at the eye center and when we reach Turiya Pad and after that when we reach the Brahm, then the real Shabad, the Shabad which pulls us up, we start listening to that, we start hearing that, and that shabad pulls us up.
Guru pehchane khub mehngai to khaya me kuch na rahai.
ਹੁਣ ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਪਹਿਚਾਣ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਵੀ ਕੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਆਪਣੇ ਸੇਵਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉੱਥੇ ਲੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਜੀਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਖੜੇ ਕਰਕੇ ਬਖਸ਼ਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਤੇਰਾ ਜੀਵ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਭੁੱਲ ਬਖਸ਼ਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਹੈ। ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਤੋਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਮੈਂ ਕੋਈ ਤੁਹਾਥੋਂ ਛੁਪਾ ਕੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਇਹ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੋਲਡ ਯੂ ਦੀ ਰੈਕਗਨੀਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਪਰਫੈਕਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ that he himself goes to Sachkhand and moreover he takes his disciple also to the Sachkhand. He takes the souls back to Lord and making them stand in front of Lord, he says that Lord, they have come asking for forgiveness, they are your souls and you should forgive them. Swamiji Maharaj says that I have told you the recognition of the master and I have not kept anything with me, I have not hidden anything, whatever qualities the masters who are going to Sachkhand have, I have told you about them.
ਸ਼ਬਦ ਕਮਾਵੀ ਸੋ ਗੁਰ ਪੂਰਾ ਉਨ ਚਰਨ ਕੀ ਹੋ ਜਾ ਤੂਰਾ ਔਰ ਪਹਿਚਾਨ ਕਰੋ ਮਤ ਕੋਈ ਲਛ ਅਲਛ ਨਾ ਦੇਖੋ ਸੋਈ।
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਹੋਰ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਪਛਾਣ ਨਹੀਂ, ਨਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਛਾਣ ਕਰਨ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਕਿਸ ਜਾਤੀ ਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਮੁਲਕ ਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਮਜ਼ਹਬ ਦਾ ਹੈ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਿਰਫ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਦੇਖਣੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਸਨੇ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਇਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ।
Now he says that there is no other recognition of the master and we do not need to see any other thing of the master. We do not need to see that from which country he belongs, whether he is of low caste or high caste. We do not need to pay attention to any other thing, except we just have to see whether he has done the meditation of Shabad Naam, whether he is practicing Shabad Naam now or not.
Shabad Ped Le Karam Nai Si Shabad
A closing bhajan is on page 184. Baksho Bakshanar P.O.G. O beloved, forgive. You are the forgiver. O beloved, forgive. You are gracious to the suffering ones. We are the sinners, the useless souls. You are the forgiver. Gracious to the suffering ones. We are wandering to door after door. O beloved Kripal, have pity. Cure the disease of egoism. Make us free from the trap of the negative power. Giving advice, make this foolish one understand. O beloved, take care of the souls. Always I utter thine, thine. I make this request and pray. O beloved, may I never forget you. O all-powerful, provider of all, the Lord. Giving up all the support of the world, Ajayb has come and fallen at your door. Forgive all the faults, O beloved Kripal. Listen to this plea. O beloved, forgive. You are the forgiver. O beloved, forgive. You are gracious to the suffering ones. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 184.
Bakasho bakasha nahara piyahaji Bakasho dina deyal piyah Bakasho bakasha nahara piyahaji Bakasho dina deyal piyah Asi papi haji hivan kahare Tusi bakashinda ho dina diyahare Asi papi haji hivan kahare Tusi bakashinda ho dina diyahare Fira de hasa asi dare dare mare Fira de hasa asi dare dare mare Tadasakaro kirepahalapiyahaji bakashodina dealpiya bakasho bakashanaharapiyahaji bakashodina dealpiya hangata homa daroga mitahavo Kalade jalecho ahana chudahavo Hangata homa daroga mitahavo Kalade jalecho ahana chudahavo Murakanude matasama jahavo Murakanude matasama jahavo Ruhanu sambahalapiyahaji bakashodina dealpiya bakasho bakashanaharapiyahaji bakashodina dealpiya tera tera me sadahi pukahara Vinati karate are jagujahara. Tera tera me sadahi pukahara. Vinati karate are jagujahara. Dilatopia ji kadina visara. Dilatopia ji kadina visara. Samrata Prabhu Pritipahala Piyahaji Bakashodina Dealpiya Bakasho Bakashanahara Piyahaji Bakashodina Dealpiya Duniya De Sabachadake Sahare Akeya jai batere digya devahare Duniya de sabacha deke sahare Akeya jai batere digya devahare Maaf karo ji avaguna sare Maaf karo ji avaguna sare Arjasano kire pahala piyahaji bakashodina dealpiya bakchukcho bakashanahara piyahaji bakashodina dealpiya
The forgiver. Oh, beloved, forgive. You are gracious to the suffering ones. May God bless us all.